you guys just kind of wake up, or sorry to disturb you. I didn't. Isn't it great to be in the house of God today? Three of you think so. Isn't it good to be in the house of God today?
Yes.
Right on. Oh, that's great. That's good. How was your week? Okay, I have to do what Mandy did. How many of you had a good week? One person. If you had a good day this week, how many of you? One day. Okay, we're going to go 3 days. How many of you have 3 days? How about a four? Let's go 4 days. Okay, let's go seven. How many had a good week? All right, there we go. There's a few of you. And the rest of you can mob them after the service and ask them how they had such a good week. Well, it's so good to be in the house of God. I'm excited. We've been walking through an incredible journey in this new year, 2009. And we began by instilling the need to be reading God's Word, the Bible. And you all received a little book that morning to help you along for this year. If you didn't get one, please call the office. We'll make sure you get one. It's just a little calendar book that helps you in your reading of God's Word, because we want you to be in there. And then we focus on how important for us to gather as God's people. Last week we understood all about conversing with God, praying. And today we're going to wrap up our time with finishing well. Finishing well. I don't know what you think of when you hear the word finishing, what that means to you. But these three guys were discussing their deaths. You know, for them, that was finishing. And one asked the other, what would you like folks to say at your funeral? And one of his buddies thought for a minute, and he said, well, I'd like them to say that, you know, he was a great guy, cared about his community. Another replied, so I'd like them to say he was a great husband, great father, was an example for many to follow. And the two nodded in agreement. They looked to the third friend, and without hesitation, the fellow said, I'd like them to say, hey, look, he's moving. Yeah. Most of us don't look forward to finishing that way. We don't look forward to dying. Woody Allen once said, it's not that I'm afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens. The reality of life is that in everything in life, there's a finish. There's an ending. There's a final moment. Something happens in our life, and we can be walking through a terrible, terrible time, but we know it's going to be a time of ending. There will be a time of finishing. Finishing to the difficulty, finishing to the hardship. But the same also happens when there's joy and great joy in our life and excitement. We know that at some point, the joy will diminish. That it will also finish. Because something will come along that's new and unique in our life that will challenge us, and the joy will disappear. Finishing. Well, we're going to look at a final moment the disciples had with Jesus. And Jesus knew at this point that his days were numbered and he was about to enter a very crucial time, the crucial time of the cross. And so I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 22, Luke chapter 22, as we look at this passage, Luke 22. Beginning of verse 15. Luke 22:15. You all got it in your Bible? Luke 22:15. Actually, I'm going to start at verse 14. Luke 22:14. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles, that is his disciples, reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and he said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. He goes on and says, and he took the bread, gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. I love this passage, that God add his blessing to his word. Well, in Luke 22, we see some wonderful things about finishing. Some great things about finishing well in 2009. In Christ, we find acceptance. Now, I don't know about you, but there are many, many times, especially when I was walking through school and the journey of school, and even after school, after high school, I was still in the journey of, will I be accepted? Will people like me? But with Jesus, we always are accepted. It doesn't matter who we are, what we've done, where we go, where we've been, Jesus accepts you. Christ sat with his disciples and he said, I have eagerly desired. Eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you. Now, I don't know about you, but what I want you to see today is complete acceptance. No preconceived perfection. Just you and the Lord. These are words for you today. Jesus says to you, I eagerly desire you. I like that word, eager. Because the word eager, it means enthusiastic. Now I know it's hard at times for me to be so enthusiastic and excited. But I love that word. It means ready. It means willing. Christ is ready. He's willing. He is excited. He is enthusiastic over you. How many of you have ever been born? Show of hands, some of you are dead. We'll let you know after the service. Wait, how many of you held a baby? How many of you have hands? Let me see. Anybody have hands here today? Okay, great, you got hands. I love it. Well, you know, I can tell you right now that at your birth, when you were born, I'm sure that there were a lot of people around, like doctors and nurses. There were people there. And that moment, that excited moment, they were just, everything was happening, and they were elated over you. And in fact, I remember when Nathan was born, Felicia was born, I remember the doctor would hold up the baby like this. It's kind of like the Lion King, you know. You know? Excited. That's how Jesus is. That's how Jesus is over you. He is so excited over you. He's eager to meet with you. Final night, Christ sat before this supper. And throughout the last days of his ministry, he clearly revealed that he must suffer and he must die. To finish well means final or concluding moment. And at this table, Jesus sits with his disciples. And he concludes his ministry. And I'm sure there were many moments for him. I'm sure as he came to relax at the table, I'm sure he could have just said, I'm worried, concerned. Guys, you don't understand what I'm going to be going through. You know, I want to spend these last few moments alone because I'm going to go through a horrible time. You don't understand, guys, what's going to happen to me, but You know how you see it when thieves are put on the cross and they die of suffocation and all the stuff they go through? That's going to happen to me. So you guys, leave me alone. I want to be alone. I want to be alone in my pain. I want to be alone in my turmoil. Jesus didn't do that. Because he knew. He knew his mission. But he also knew the arms of the Father. He also knew that God would take care of him So in the final moment, as they break bread and as they drink from the cup, Jesus turns and takes that bread, the feast, and he says to the one who will turn him in, he says, "Here, I eagerly desire to be with you today." He turns then to the one on whom he instituted the church, and he says to Peter, "You're going to deny me." No, he didn't. He says, "I eagerly desire you. Thomas, you're going to doubt me, but I eagerly desire you." Jesus didn't remind them of their faults. What Jesus did was he opened his arms and he said, "I accept you for who you are." He's doing that for you today. He is saying to you right now, "I accept you, warts and all. There have been times and moments where you've denied me. There have been those moments," Jesus says, "even where you've doubted me. There have been those times where you have nailed me again to the cross. But I still accept you. I still accept you." You talk about accepting. I mean, one who sat at the table, plotted against him, and exposed as a traitor, another deny him, another doubt him, and his whole word, his whole life. But he invites them to come to the final moment and welcomes them with open arms. Andrew Murray understood this. He penned these words. He said at the communion of our Lord, "I think of my wretchedness as being the poverty and hunger for which the feast is prepared, this divine bread so cordially given." There were moments the disciples just didn't really get it. I mean, they didn't heal some that they thought were not worthy. They just thought they're not worthy of being healed. There were those whom they condemned. They had many discussions about children and who they were in God's sight. And they even fought over a position. "I want this position." And who was better? And who was going to sit with Jesus? And over all these conversations, Jesus still said, "I accept you. I want you." You see, the amazing thing is that none of us are worthy. But because of Christ, he makes us worthy. Here is a moment at this table, a private moment, a moment of quietness, a moment of weakness, a moment of invitation, a moment to be with his disciples. And I mean, you know, this is not something that just this church celebrates. This is a worldwide institution. This is how far welcoming the supper of our Lord is, this feast. The Lord accepts whomever, to himself. And that's what this table is. Jesus is eager to celebrate this moment with you, and he wants it personal with you. Have you realized, though, how personal God really is? He personally accepts who you are. And he wants that relationship with you. Throughout this series, we have looked at ways in which we can enhance that relationship with our personal God. And this table is the final moment where you can affirm that acceptance. God wants you. He accepts you, warts and all. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, what you look like. I mean, hey. You know, he accepts this. You know, he accepts this. Not my hairdo. He accepts us warts and all. And you know the amazing thing about God? What Jesus says in this last moment is he affirms his disciples, even though they're going to turn him in. Sis, how can I make your load lighter so that you can enjoy life more? Wow. Desired to be here with you. In Christ we find acceptance. In Christ we find love. Verse 19, he took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, he gave it to them. He said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And same way after supper, he took the cup and he said, this is the cup in my, the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. See those words? This is my body, Jesus says, given for who? Given for you. Yeah. It's my blood, he said. This is my blood poured out for you. Yes. Now, why? Why would Christ give his life in this way? Because he loves me. God loves you. Now you may even be able, I know I've said this before, I've had you say it before. You may say, well, God loves me. You can say that. You can say that all you want. But when the times get tough and you start trying to figure things out your way, you need to know in a big way that God loves you. You can be hurting today and you can be walking through such difficult moments and you can be saying, oh, I'm pain, I'm suffering, and I need somebody to talk to. God says, I'm waiting. I love you. I accept you. God loves you. God loves you that much. Christ was a sacrifice out of love for you. Do you get it? God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. Every morning I say, God, boy, may I feel your love today. Every morning. God, may I feel your love today. God, may I feel your love today. Say it with me. God, may I feel your love today. God, may I feel your love today. Say it again. God, may I feel your love today. One more time so you get it. God, may I feel your love today. I'll tell you, no one else will love you the way Christ does. You can search everywhere for that kind of love. You can look for things. In essence, we grab a hold of things sometimes for that kind of love. No one will love you the way Christ does. You see, his desire is to redeem you from death, to bestow on you eternal life, and only he can do that. And so there's a choice that needs to be made. Just as Christ chose to give his life for me, I must choose to give my life to him. He gives himself to me to be the food, to be the joy, to be the living power of my soul. You talk about love. Jesus gives me, he says, I want to stir in you, I want your joy to be full. That's what Jesus wants for us. I want your joy to be full. And what happens is, we get ourselves in the way so much, we take away the joy more than ever. Well, I want this. I want the position. You know, hey, who do you think is going to be first? Anybody? You know? I need to celebrate that kind of love. And when I do that, then I know I'm finishing well. Finishing well means making right decisions. And every day, you're allowed to make a right decision. Did you know that? Every day, you are faced every day with a decision to make. Every day. You're going, wait, I haven't made a decision today. I asked you already to make a decision, didn't I? I said, today is a choice for you. See, every day, you're up against something that puts you up against the wall where you're going, I can't take this anymore. I can't handle this anymore. And God is just standing there going, hey, wait a minute. I want your joy to be full. I'll give it to you. You want it? Talk to me about it. I wait. I ponder. In that moment in the morning, before I even get out of bed, I sit there and say, God, I just want to feel your love today. And God, I just want your joy to overflow in me. See? God, I just want your joy to overflow in me so that I can love even the unlovable. And then I ask God, you know what I ask God? I ask God to send some unlovely person my way that day so I can love them. Oh boy. I do. And you know what God does? He does. There's always somebody who comes along who is troubled, who is unloved, who's not accepted, so that I can show God's love to them. Now, I tell you, I have to fight to do that. It's not like, oh, Devin, you got it together, man. This is great. No, I fail at that sometimes. You got to understand. I do. Because sometimes I go and I'll sit back, get home, and I'll say, God, why did you send me that person? You know? Leonard Sweet, professor of postmodern Christianity, he said this. He said, I used to think that the best definition of the gospel was this one. Jesus ate good food with bad people. He says, I now have a new definition of the gospel. He says, it can be distilled into two words. Jesus loves. I like that. Those really do say everything about why Jesus came and who Jesus is. He loves and he accepts you. I think it's time for us to take Christianity back. Christians are called to be the greatest lovers in the world. Did you know that? And I think it's time. It's time. You can be right, you can be doing right things, but if your rightness is not packaged in an overwhelming embrace of love and grace, your rightness is wrong. Doesn't matter how it's done, love is eternity based. The more you give, the more there is to go around. The disciples of Jesus are called at this table to love with a love that is from God and of God and toward God. That's finishing well. You may be here today and you may be saying, well, I don't have the strength. That's good. Because my taking doesn't depend on my strength. I have only to receive what Jesus, my Savior, brings to me, and he inwardly imparts so I can have it. He gives me the strength to do this. When we embrace the command of our Lord instructed, do this in remembrance of me, we're called to remember him. We're called to remember when we first chose to give our life to him. We're to remember when he walked along those moments of life which were so difficult, sometimes holding our hand, other times pulling us through. Other times, just taking his hands and just lifting us up. Why does he do that? Because of love. No one can love you like that. No one. That's Jesus. That's our Lord. I love him. What about you? Don't you love him? Hello? Do you love him? Yes. To the imprisoned, Jesus is the key to freedom, the door of salvation. To the sick, Jesus is the great physician. To the attacked, Jesus is the advocate. He is the redeemer. To the debtor, Jesus is the payer of the debt. To the lonely, he's the comforter, has come. To the homeless, Jesus is the cornerstone. To the depressed, Jesus is the son of righteousness. To the harassed, Jesus is the Alpha and he is the Omega. To the lost, Jesus is the bright and morning star. To the wanderer, Jesus is the way. To the dead, Jesus is the life. To the seeker, Jesus is the truth. To the hungry, Jesus is the bread of life. To the thirsty, Jesus is the cup of heaven. That's Jesus, the greatest lover in the world. You cannot outlove the Lord. Well, who am I? I am one that Jesus loves. Who are you? You are one that Jesus loves. Who is he? He loves you. who as I am his love. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to ask the elders to come prepare the Lord's table. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment because I got some questions for you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you, have you made a choice for all eternity today? Have you made that critical decision that Jesus is it for your life? I'm asking you that question because Jesus welcomes all those who've accepted him into their life to this table. So I ask you that question so that you make the right choice today. Maybe you need to make a choice today that you're going to accept him or that you're going to accept his love. Or maybe you're going to make a choice today that you're going to start each day by saying, God, I just want to feel your love today and I just want your joy to overflow so that I love other people. Maybe you're going to make a choice today, a decision today, by saying, God, send a person who is not loved every day to see me. Maybe you want to make that. Maybe you want to start out with a week. I don't know. And God will do that. You have a lot of decisions to make today. You can only make them by talking to the one who loves you, the greatest lover in the world, God himself. Talk to him. Speak to him. Make decisions today that will affect the rest of your life. While all heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and if you're talking to God today in some way, saying, God, just, I accept you. I want that love. I want that joy. I need you. Just raise your hand. It'll further underline the decision you made. Lord bless you, 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 Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. God sees all those hands. God sees them. Maybe you're saying today, I find it so hard to love other people. Those people who just, maybe they're even people who get on you, you know, just, you can't handle them. Maybe today, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you want to say, God, I want you to just send those people that I find so difficult to love, I want you to send them to me, God, so I can love them. Maybe you want to make that commitment today. Maybe you just want to say, God, I choose eternal life. That means giving my life to you, placing it in your hands. If you're going to make that decision today, just ask while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just lift up your head. Just lift it up if you're saying, God, I'm making that decision. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Father God, we're about to come to this table that we've talked about today. You desire to be with us around this table. You've called us as your disciples to partake, and so we're thankful. So God, restore what is missing in our life, whatever that could be. We might not even know it. God, restore it. Because we know you desire us to live a full life. Restore what we need here. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus Christ that we celebrate your love and your acceptance. Amen.
Do the welcoming in Afrikaans. Dit is die tafel van die Here Jesus. En die Here Jesus nooi vanoggend vir elkeen van ons wat opreg glo in hom as ons Here en Verlosser, om saam die dood van hom te verkondig totdat hy kom.
This is the Lord's table. He invites all who have accepted him as their Savior to come and partake of the bread and of the cup. And now ask Mandy to pray for the bread, a symbol of Christ's body broken for you and for me.
Our loving Jesus, we just want to thank you so much that you have invited us to come to this table. We thank you that it was by your body that we can come. And so we just lean on your grace today. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for saving me. What can I say? You are my everything. I will sing your praise. You shed your blood for me. What can I say? You took my sin and shame, a sinner called by name. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. For we know your
Ed will now pray for the cup, a symbol of Christ's blood shed on Calvary for our sins.
Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your great love for us. You sent your only Son to die on the cross. It just struck me again this morning how you were eager to get there, knowing all the suffering you'd be going through, and yet you were willing to go, and were eager to go, and just so that we could have our sins forgiven. Thank you for the blood that can wash away our sins. Thank you for the power in the blood to make us whole, to make us a new person, to overcome victory, or overcome temptations through victory. We pray that as we partake of this juice now, that we would truly remember the blood that was shed on the cross for us. Amen.
Mercy and grace are mine, forgiveness is my sin. Jesus, my only hope, the Savior of the world. Great is the Lord, we cry, God, let your kingdom come. Your word has led us see. Thank you for saving me. My only hope, Savior of the world. Great is the Lord, we cry, God, let your kingdom come. Your word has led me see. Thank you for saving me.
We read from the Word of God, then in the same way he took the cup also. After supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat from the bread and drink from the cup, proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen.
It's our desire that God be a part of our absolutely everything. And sometimes you know, you've seen times where friends are in indefinite need in their lives. So we take a benevolent offering this morning, and we're going to sing about God being our everything as well.
God in my living, there in my breathing, God in my waking, God in my sleeping, God in my resting, there in my working, God in my thinking, God in my speaking, be my everything, be my everything. Be my everything, be my everything. God in my hoping, there in my dreaming, God in my watching, God in my waiting.